So when I was a kid, the only way you could listen to music, well, apart from the radio, was vinyl, right? And my dad had quite a nice vinyl collection. And in those days, which is happening again, vinyl records weren't just black. And there was one that was on red vinyl, and I loved it precisely just because it was red and caught my eye. And it was none other than that wonderful Broadway musical, Porgy and Bess. And I listened to that over and over, and that's why this rabbi learned songs maybe I shouldn't, like, it ain't necessarily so, it ain't necessarily so, the things that you're liable to read in the Bible, they ain't necessarily so. And then the song proceeds to talk about our Parsha that we read today, that Methuselah, how long he lived, and maybe he didn't live 900 years. And contained in there is this misconception as to what the Bible actually is and what its purpose is. So I spoke a little bit about that last night, but I want to expand on that in some different directions. And I want to talk about the purpose of the Bible and the Torah from God's perspective, from the human perspective, and what that tells us about our own role. And we get both here and next week's Parsha, these two rather poignant images of God's relationship to the creation. At the very, very end of Bereshit that we just read, we see, Vaya Adonai ki rabara ata adam ba'aretz, the Lord saw how great was man's wickedness on earth, and how every plan devised by his mind was nothing but evil all the time. And the Lord said, I will blot out from the earth the men whom I created, men together with beasts, creeping things, and birds of the sky, for I regret that I made them. And the Midrash and certain writers talk about this gap between God's expectations as creator and what happens when the creation that you make goes its own way. So God had this marvelous notion of who we would be, of what the world should be like, of the fact that it was out of love that the world was created. And then he looks at his work product, and it's like, gewalt, it's so bad, I'm going to wipe the whole thing off, let's start over, right? And he tries that, and of course we know next week he's going to try it, you know, with this whole episode of Noah and the Ark. And at the end we get another image of Noah, of God's mind in there. And Noah has finally come to the mountain, and the waters have receded sufficiently to land his little ship from its three-hour tour. And Noah makes a sacrifice to God, and then God says, "Smell God." 20 verse 21. Vayach Adonai et reach hanichoach vayomer Adonai el libo lo asaf lekalel od et adama bavor hadam. God smelled the pleasing odor and said to himself, never again will I doom the earth because of the human, since the devisings of people's minds are evil from their youth, nor will I ever again destroy every living being as I have done. So if we look at this from God's perspective, there is a slight but meaningful change that's at the heart of Judaism. In the first section I read, God says that our thoughts and our essence are nothing but evil, and let me get rid of it, and comes along again. And in this episode here, God says that our thoughts are just bad from our youth. We're not intrinsically bad, and therefore there is the possibility for change. A change which, by the way, in the story of Cain, did not work out as well as we would have liked. So God goes from a creator who imagines that the world can be shaped exactly as the divine will would have it, to realizing, people do their own things. People go their own ways. people have their own thoughts, and somehow I will come to terms with it. So that's the divine perspective on the purpose of the Torah, about trying to help us along. And it's not so different in the human role in there. Last High Holidays, not this past one, but back in 2017, I composed and told the story of Cain as I saw it. And I want to revisit that in small measure because I think it captures for us this role and purpose of the Bible. And a close reading both of the Midrash and of the Torah, we come to understand that there's very few people who are not who we don't learn die in the Torah, at least among the males. The females, sometimes we don't hear about their lifespan. But even in the part of the Torah that we read today, we learn how long someone lives, we learn when they died, and the exceptions to it are the Cain, who is told that he will wander through the earth for all eternity, Hanoch, the seventh generation, later on Elijah. Other than that, people come or born, and then they are died. And out of that, it let me really imagine and look closely at who Cain was. And the image I gathered from all of our sources was of this human being just absolutely consumed by what he had done wrong and unable to move past it for close to eternity, for generation after generation. His curse for the murder that he brought into the world, and thus the entire notion of murder, was to have a mark on his head and to wander everywhere, and for people to know that sign and understand they were not allowed to kill him, even though he did that. And I imagine this person just racked and unable to move past what happened until the very, very end of his life, as I imagined it. This person who saw his sin and couldn't move on. And the Torah is primarily a book, as our tradition teaches us, about humans and for humans. So while we understand that God has come to understand who we are struggling throughout this book to reach the same decision. And the beginning of the Torah teaches us that the human being is the creature who does not want to take responsibility for our actions. Adam blames the one thing he wasn't supposed to do, eating from that tree, on Eve. Eve blames it on the snake. And we have birthed and hard-baked into the very beginning of the Torah an inability to own up and take responsibility for what we have done. Cain is actually a slight improvement, even though his sin is so much worse, because he doesn't blame it on someone else. He just says, Hashomer achi anochi, am I my brother's keeper? He doesn't say, so somebody else killed him. So he at least, there's not that, but he himself, and throughout these narratives that we are going to look at, we are going to see people who do not take responsibility. We're going to watch it in our ancestors, the Avot. We're going to watch them sell their brother into slavery and dip a cloak into blood and say, oh, look, some animal must have killed him. It's really only at the end of these stories in Genesis when there's that very poignant scene when the brothers meet Joseph and sit down, and Joseph, after really putting them through the ringer, has seen that they have been able to look at what they did and not only apologize for what they had done, but he was able to see that they had changed their behavior when the same opportunity to sin had come about. So from God's perspective, we are going to do the wrong thing. It's built into us, at least from our youth, not our essence. But the Torah is the story about learning to take responsibility, learning to fess up, learning to try to do a little bit better. And the Torah is, of course, an eternal book, and its story is not a story of history, as you might hear in Porgy and Bess, about things that aren't necessarily so, but it's a book about what is always so. It is a book about our moral endeavors and how we must strive to live a little bit better and to know that even when we fail and fail as Cain did, that if we want, we can overcome those urges and that there is uplift waiting for us. We live in a time of where it seems particularly hard and where we all maybe can take a look at the eternal verities of the Torah and the promise it gives us to do just that, to live a little bit better out of the evil that enters into every human heart. May we find the will, the capacity, the desire to do just that. Shabbat Shalom.